You notice last week we considered the topic. David had said before he died, I go the way of all the earth. And last Lord's Day, we looked into his belief about the afterlife. He could say bodily that he was going the way of all the earth, but we could say regarding his soul that was going to depart his body, he was going the way of all the saints. I do believe that David's writings and David's beliefs also indicate that he would say, go not the way of all lost sinners. And so I would like us to turn first of all to Psalm 2 as we look at some of David's psalms, his writings that refer especially to the doctrine of the afterlife. David believed in heaven. Psalm 23, you remember, he ended with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had a blessed hope. Did he believe in hell? Should we believe in hell? Should we not only preach on heaven but on hell? Is this not part of the whole counsel of God? It isn't politically correct today to speak about hell. Whatever happened to hell is that book that I referred to earlier. Today there's the popularity of universalism that everyone is going to heaven eventually. Even the popularity of annihilationism that those who are not saved are going to be obliterated. They can't stomach the doctrine of hell. God does have a paradise. Jesus said to the thief there near him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paradise is an Aramaic word that speaks of a garden, a well-ordered and well-manicured garden. Paul used the same expression when he said he was caught up to the third heaven and he called it paradise. God has a paradise. Thank the Lord that we have the hope of heaven. Don't ever let that leave your heart. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. If you're a Christian, you have the hope of heaven, of paradise. Does God have a prison? Should we, as I asked the boy, should we have prisons? Prisons keep dangerous people from a free society. Prisons make society safer. But it just seems like that the criminals multiply so much, there are still so many circulating in society that society is a very dangerous place to be. One day, outside free and holy society will be the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers. But now we shop with them. Now they drive on our highways. They try to put away as many as possible, but they're still free to roam. David spoke about those who perished, let them be silent in Sheol. In prisons, silence, at least the activity, the personal activity of prisoners. I think we have a hint from David when Absalom died. And remember, I commented on this back in 2 Samuel when it says, when David says after Absalom died, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Wonder if this was echoed by Paul when he said, I could wish for myself to be accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh. This expression of David was not of losing one merely to death. If David was hopeful that Absalom went to heaven, his grief would have been alleviated by that hope. His sorrow would not have been so profuse and bitter and public. I believe that David's expression of incredible grief after Absalom's death was because he knew that Absalom's soul was in hell. As with heaven, we turn to the Davidic Psalms for much of David's doctrine and his hopes for mercy and for justice. The word Sheol plays a major part in the Old Testament of the doctrine of hell. The Hebrew word Sheol. It's translated death, grave, pit, and hell in our English Bibles. Mostly translated grave and hell. Another word that's translated pit, two other words. Translated pit speaks of metaphoric, in a metaphorical way for hell. Hell is a pit. A pit is a place when people fall into, they can't get out. It's a pit that is a prison. It is a deep ravine that you cannot climb out of. And whenever David uses these expressions, metaphorical expressions for hell, these he gives as warnings that reach beyond death itself. He's not just talking about death. He seems to go beyond death, warning that there's more to dying than the physical body. There is a second death, as the New Testament calls it. In Psalm 2, he seems to say that hell is a place to avoid, with some of the warnings as we read, for instance, in Psalm 2. It says to the state leaders, the heads of state, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Seems to be a warning from David, not just that these men will die physically, everyone will die physically, but he seems to give a warning to heads of state that they need to humble themselves under the authority of the Son of God, or his wrath is going to be kindled even a little and they'll perish in the way. In Psalm 86, he said, Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. If hell was merely the grave, how could there be a lowest or a highest? David seems to be speaking of the place beyond the grave, that he's delivered from the lowest hell. And of course, his son Solomon warns the adulterer and the adulteress. He says, if it was merely, when he talks about hell, her house, the prostitute's house leads to hell. If he was merely referring to death and the grave, how would that be a warning to an adulterer? The faithful marital partner dies too. But the prostitute's house leads to hell. He's no doubt referring hell as his father taught. There's a hell beyond the grave. There's a hell for the soul. There's a prison for the soul. Hell is a place the Bible says to avoid. Hell is a place of punishment. I think his clearest statement about hell is found in Psalm 9. We read and we sang that portion of the psalm earlier this morning. Psalm 9. But notice, we start at verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. And some would argue this is just referring to their reaping what they've sown. They die physically. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And it seems to be taking us further than the grave now. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's beyond the grave. How could anyone argue that verse 17 is not point blank speaking of the place of hell that is beyond the grave for the body? So this is not merely referring to death in the grave. Notice he's warning people. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. There's a warning there. And he says it's the wicked, not all people, that will be turned. If hell, this word Sheol, was merely death, the just shall be turned into Sheol. All of us will die if the Lord tarries. And all the nations that remember God. But he's referring to more than the grave, physical death. He's saying the wicked. Now this is not, we think of the word wicked as really bad sinners. But if you look at this word wicked, it's just the opposite of righteous. Righteous doesn't mean the most moral saints. Wicked does not mean the most immoral sinners. Righteous simply means one who is a saint, who's justified. One who's wicked is one who's unjustified. That's all it's saying. The unjustified shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. Forgetting God is all it's saying. It's the base sin. It's the sin that leads to adultery and covetousness and unbelief. They've just chosen not to think about God. They have the information clearly available to them that there's a God in heaven. And they refuse to listen to that information that the heavens declare the glory of God. They choose to forget God. He's not in all their thoughts. It's that simple. Someone can go to hell simply because he has forgotten God. He never murdered a person or stolen a thing. What is it to remember God? To love Him. To remember God is to think about God on purpose. Not when we have to. You and I are in a way forced to think about God now because His Word is opened and we're speaking about the Lord. But when you and I aren't, when it's not convenient, do we move our hearts and minds toward the Lord, praying spontaneously, thinking about the Lord when we see the beauty that surrounds us, praying, lamenting before the Lord when we see the ugliness and the wickedness around us? The sin of forgetting God is at the base of every lost person's soul. All the nations that are forgetters of God. God was not in all their plans. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And Paul did not mean merely physical death. Notice the parallel. But the gift of God is eternal life. He meant The wages of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hell is a place to avoid. Hell is a place of punishment. Prisons are not primarily places of rehabilitation. They are places of punishment. I am behind these bars because I'm being punished for my crimes. And if someone's sentence is less than life, it may become rehabilitation. But there's no rehabilitation in hell. They don't become better by being in hell. They remain and they increase in wickedness. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. People are not neutral in hell. They continue to sin. They continue in their unbelief. They continue in their rage. They continue in their desires, their lusts. They lust to be back in the world. They lust to have their bodies back. They lust for the things that they no longer can imbibe their souls in. Hell is a place of punishment. Notice also in this psalm, hell is a large place. All the nations that forget God shall be turned into Sheol. Our prisons are overcrowded. We're building more. And I remember hearing prison guards say that there's actually prisons on wheels every day. It's hard to believe that they say that there are vans, large transport vehicles with prisoners in them. And there's so many hundreds, if not thousands, of prisoners that are on the highways during the day to relieve the overcrowding in the prisons. May I say, hell is not overcrowded. It's a large place, but there is a cell for every soul who descends there. There is no escape. There is no prisoner that has gone to hell that has ever come to tell about it. Sinners forever from every nation. Just like there are saints from every nation in paradise, there are sinners from every nation in God's prison. God knows how to reserve the wicked for the day of judgment. He will keep them in this prison until Jesus calls the wicked from their graves. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Proverbs 16, the wicked shall be prepared for the day of evil. But I do like what someone said, that hell is eventually called a lake and not an ocean. It's a big place. But it isn't an ocean. It's a lake. Hell is a large place. Many are going there too. Are you hopeful of heaven? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? Have you repented of your sin, of your crimes against God's holiness and justice and goodness and truth? Hell is a place of torment. In the 21st Psalm, verses 8 and 9, David goes on to say, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall devour them." Isn't this to be fast forwarded to Luke 16? In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. David would go on to say in the 55th Psalm, God shall hear and afflict them, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. How can that merely refer to death? David means for that to be a place of punishment and of torment for those who die without saving grace. But perhaps the most ominous of all of David's words on this matter is what we've read together. You read that in Psalm 139. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And notice, hell is parallel, opposite to heaven, not to life. It's not referring merely to death. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Do you notice the difference? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And no one seems to doubt that there's a heaven. No need for behold. Everyone knows that God is in heaven. Everyone knows there's a heaven. But he goes on to say, if I make my bed in hell, behold, surprise, God is in hell. That's what it's saying. Behold, thou art there. You say, how could God be in hell? He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Well, just the doctrine of omnipresence. He has to be in hell. But this is not merely the doctrine of omnipresence. It's saying, never mind the angels if they're prison guards. The prison warden is there. The one who prepared the lake of fire for the devil and his angels is there. Behold, thou art there. Oh, may we not make our beds in hell. That isn't just an expression, if I lay down in hell. There are no beds in hell. There are beds in prison cells, but there are no beds in Sheol or in Hades or in Gehenna. Horrible. They're torturing believers these days. You read of some of the experiences of believers in North Korean and in Chinese prison. 6 months of total isolation, no windows. One man that I'm reading of who was in Chinese prisons, 21 years, he had no Bible and no Christian fellowship. 21 years. And he said what kept him was prayer, but he was singing the old rugged cross in Psalm 23. It's all he remembered for 21 years. After all those years incapacitated, incarcerated, those were his hopes. You read of Jesus perhaps being in a cell where he couldn't stand up completely or lay down completely. Can you imagine being in a small, confined area? You can't stand up straight and you can't stretch out straight. It's a place that God oversees. Can't help but think of Exodus 14 when the Lord was fighting for Israel at the Red Sea. It says, behold, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And they said, let us flee. But there's nowhere to go. Through the fires of hell they see the wrathful eyes of God, as it were, looking upon them with wrath and anger. They are raging against God. But what will their rage accomplish? It's the rage of God that has caused them to be turned into hell. And you notice that expression in Psalm 9. They're turned. The idea is they're turned aside. They're turned away from where they want to go. They didn't want to go there. They're turned into hell. Just like the prisoner who's handcuffed and led away to where he doesn't want to go. He's turned into the cell. David in Psalm 140 says the hell is a place of no return. Psalm 140 verse 10, let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Isn't that David's belief in hell? That it's a place of no return? There's no second chance? No wonder he said, Oh, Absalom, let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. In other words, he's saying hell is final. Its occupants await sentencing. It's a holding place. Erie County Holding Center is a holding place before they're put to trial and sentenced. Hell is final. Your sin doesn't have to be final if you're seated today, if you're here this morning. It will be final if you die without Christ, but it doesn't have to be final. Today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins today. There's not a just one upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all broken God's law. We all deserve His prison. David, Psalm 143, seems to say that hell is a place of differentiation. It's a notorious place. In other words, there are no saved sinners in hell. There are no saints in hell. Hell is a place for those who die without salvation. Psalm 143, verse 7, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Do you see what he's saying there? Those that go down into the pit are different. Don't let me be like them. Don't treat me like you treat them. God doesn't hear their prayers in hell. Hear my prayers. God hides His face of mercy and kindness to those in hell. Oh God, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Jesus, you remember, said, he shall separate the sheep from the goats. Was it not Peter in his sermon there to the believers in Acts 1 that Judas went to his own place? Different. A different place that Peter went to eventually, that Paul went to. It's a place. The Bible says it was built for the devil and his angels, the ultimate place, the lake of fire, Gehenna. It's a place for them that know not God, nor obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place for those who dare to die not knowing God intimately, nor obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Blessed are they that obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cursed be they who do not his commandments and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Hell is a notorious place. There have been people that have been exonerated from our prisons, found guiltless by DNA and other matters. 11 years, one man recently saw, 11 years in jail by a supposed bite mark, and they vindicated him. 11 years in jail. He's a free man. But hell is a place that is different. It's different than heaven. It's a place of darkness. No joy, no song, no sermons, no happiness, no forgiveness, no hope. Leave all hope behind if you die without Jesus Christ. Hell's a hopeless place. Can there be any sadder word than hopelessness? Does this affect us at all? What effect should we expect from a consideration of the doctrine of hell? Is our heart a little bit moved? Are we softened some for the condition of the lost? Loved ones, neighbors that are lost, in a heartbeat from God's prison forever? There may be an exit from Sheol and Hades, but they rather there was an entrance with no exit than to have to stand before the Son of Man. Though the doctrine of hell in the Old Testament, as well as the doctrine of heaven, is not fully developed as it is in the New Testament, it is clearly discernible. Is it a thing incredible that God should raise up a prison for final rejectors, as God would raise up the dead for those who trusted Him? When I think of David and Absalom, I speak to all children, children of those going to heaven. Take warning from David that not every child of a believer should presume of his parents' salvation and hope. Is Christ your hope, not just your mother's hope or your father's hope or your brother's hope or your sister's hope? Is He your hope? And indeed, as we read the rest of the Bible, we have an especially clearer word from Jesus and from Paul, Peter, and John. There's a lake of fire. There's a place of torment that sinners will be outside, never able to get inside the city of God. God, give us gratitude like David to thank Him for delivering us from the lowest hell. Thank God for the hope of heaven. May God help us to warn about the agonies and the finality of hell. Let's pray.